This is the Should Have Bet More podcast, presented by Goal Boys Network. Here's your host, Will Hill.
Welcome to the Should Have Bet More podcast, presented by Goal Boys. Coming up on the show, Kelly Bidlin of VSiN will join us. We will go over Knicks and Pacers, OKC and Minnesota, as both series are now 3-1. Last we talked was Monday, and the Knicks had just beaten the Pacers. The Timberwolves had just beaten the Thunder. To put both series at 2-1, you're thinking, you know what, maybe we can get some longer series. Well, might still be the case, but we are a win on each side away from having a very long layoff until the NBA Finals that does not start until Thursday, June 5th, a week here on that Thursday. So we'll see how it plays out in the West. I'm very skeptical that Minnesota makes a run of it, but that's not where we're going to start. I'll get to that game in a minute. But the story here is the Pacers, and the Pacers one win away from the NBA Finals. The Knicks facing elimination. And this is a tough one for the Knicks because the Knicks fan, if you asked them on Sunday, they would have, I think, to a man for the most part, believed with all of their heart that this was a series that was in good shape for them. They were going to win this series. You win a game like Game 3, you're down 20. You're down 2-0 in the series. You're down 20 in the second half. Might have been the end of the first half, but you're down 20. You're down 2-0 to win that, a rally on the road, keep your season alive. That's just a win that makes you believe you're going to win the series. That makes you believe that this team has a toughness, all of those things that, especially as the higher seed, that they can come back and win it. And that might still be the case, but Game 4 is a humbling experience, as we've gone to see that one game does not necessarily relate to the next game. There's no such thing as momentum in these playoffs. As we've seen time and time again, Minnesota, OKC, a perfect example. Minnesota wins by, 40-something points in Game 3, and they lose in Game 4. And the Knicks, incredible, and it was an incredible win in Game 3, could not be sustained. This was wire-to-wire for Indiana. I know Knicks had a two-point lead a couple different times. Indiana led by as many as 15 and led by 13 with the last, with maybe 6-7 minutes to go. And 113.99, 111.99 to 113.99. You figure 6-7 minutes to go. I know the series has been crazy, but this is over. And pretty quickly, it was cut down to 6. Bridges hit a 3. Pacers answered. Hart answered to make it 6. And this is where the Knicks, this is the tough part about giving yourself a deficit this big. You just have to play perfect from this point forward, because the sequence when the Pacers were up by 6 in the last few minutes, couple offensive rebounds, they get to the free throw line, and even though they only made 1 of 2, 1 point when you're up by 6 with 3 minutes to go, sometimes 1 point can be huge. Another sequence after that, they got an offensive rebound, went back to the line with Siakam, and that was as close as the Knicks got, 120 to 114, 122 to 116. 6 was as close as it got. Pacers just kept the Knicks at arm length pretty much the entire game, led by 8 after 1, led by 5 after 2. If you look at the Knicks, it's hard to see where this went wrong, because you shot 43% from 3. You dominated the glass 42 to 31. You shot 85% from the free throw line, and you look up and you still lost, and you still lost pretty comfortably. So I think the key here, Pacers shot about 65% from 2. The Pacers are just, look, Haliburton was incredible, and the Knicks just are not a great defensive team. Anytime you have Towns and Brunson on the same floor defensively, it's not a good situation. Again, I would not count them out. I'll just say right now, I think they're winning game number 5. I would actually lay the 4.5. I hate laying points in this series. And it's maybe a flimsy reason to say, oh, they're not that they're due, but I can't see them winning or losing all 3 games at Madison Square Garden in the series. I really can't. I think the Knicks will find a way behind that crowd. I think they'll get some calls. I feel strongly the Knicks will win this game and go to a game 6. And then you know what? You're one win away from having a deciding game on your floor. So I've talked about this before. It's a much different feel when you're down 3-1, but 5 is at home, 7 is at home. So the Knicks laying 4.5 here in game 5. Series price, Pacers minus 700 here to get to a finals. Knicks plus 500. I don't mind taking a chance on the Knicks, because I think they're going to win game 5. And then all of a sudden, game 6 is what it comes down to. Game 6, you'll be a very slight dog. And then if you can get it to a game 7, you're sitting on a plus 500. And you're going to be favored by a good, 4 or 5 points in that 7th game. So I'll just say right now, I said Knicks in 7 before the series. There's plenty of reason to jump off board. I'm not going to. I still think we get a 7th game, and I will still pick the Knicks to win I'll still pick the Knicks to win. I think the Knicks win this, and I think Indiana, the game will be tough in game six, and we'll deal with that when it gets there. That would be on a Sunday, so we'll see if the Knicks live to see Sunday. I think that will decide the series. I think if it got to a seven, the Knicks would win. I think the Knicks, look, you could have said they should have won game seven, but they could have easily lost game three. I just don't think that there's that much that separates these teams. I think they're going to play better at home here. Again, I don't see Indiana coming in and winning all three in the Garden. I just don't see that. I think the Knicks, and look, the Pacers have a feel here of just the hot hand at the blackjack table. There's a reason that the Pacers were a four seed. It's not like, this is not the 96 Bulls or the 2001 Lakers. This is the Indiana Pacers. They're a four seed. So I do think the Knicks still have some life in the series, as much as it looks bleak here if you're a Knicks fan. So Knicks minus 4.5 for game number five is a play. And I think game six will be tough, but I just have a feeling here the Knicks still have some life in them and have some life in this series. So rooting for it, rooting for a long series, rooting for my prediction to be right, obviously. So we'll see how that plays out. As far as the West, OKC laying 8.5 to Minnesota. I mentioned a couple times last week, I'm not going to discuss this Minnesota-Oklahoma City series, just the way the schedule worked out they give me a reason to discuss it. They finally gave me a reason to discuss it Saturday. Minnesota wins a game, 2-1. And game four was awesome, but I think game four pretty much ended the series. I think OKC wins this game number five. I could see them running Minnesota out of the building, similar to game one or game two. But I could also see Oklahoma City, a young team, chance to go to the NBA Finals, gripping the ball a little bit too tight. Gripping the bat too tight is what they say in baseball. I could see them being a little bit tight here in game five, some nerves. I think they'll ultimately win. I'd be very surprised if we're talking about a game six here on a Friday with Minnesota having a home game to force a game seven. I don't think we'll see that. But OKC being a little tight, missing some shots early, and having a rally or hold off Minnesota and Minnesota covering, I could see being in the cards here. And by the way, Oklahoma City has not covered. I know this game is in OKC, but OKC not covered a road playoff game this year. They could be the first. I would think they'd be the first team. I can't think of a team, not that I've been following every single NBA champion, but very unusual for an NBA champion to go through the entire playoffs without covering a road game in the entire postseason. They didn't cover either one against Memphis. They didn't cover either one in Denver, any of those three, and they didn't cover any of the two in Minnesota. It was a pretty tough beat Monday night, Memorial Day, just because you led most of the game if you were OKC. And then SGA gets a rebound. He's basically getting hacked, and they didn't call it. Eventually throws it out of bounds. So Minnesota only loses by two. They cover. So from that aspect, it's been interesting with OKC just winning enough of these games on the road, not being great on the road, but winning enough, doing enough to advance. And I think OKC perhaps lost their final game of the season in game number three. I know I said it was possible against Denver in game six that was their last loss. Might have been off by one, because I don't know that Indiana, if that's who the matchup is, or the Knicks, if they're able to rally and come back and win the series. I don't know that they get a game against OKC. OKC is just really good. They're really deep. I know they haven't played well here on the road, but OKC is going to be a massive, massive favorite against whoever comes out of the East, assuming they're able to close this out, which I would imagine they would here in game number five. So don't anticipate much juice here in the West. We'll see if we get something out of the East. I do think we'll get a game six, like I mentioned with the Knicks, and hopefully a game seven. Hopefully game seven. I'd be disappointed if this, even six, five would be really bad for the hopes I had for this Knicks Pacers series. If it's Pacers in five, especially when you have home court and you lose in five, that means you lost three out of the four, and you won one on the road. You lost all three at home, and then you split the others. That's a bad one. When you have home court and you lose in five, that's embarrassing. So I don't think we'll get that from the Knicks. I think they'll play a pretty good game here on Thursday, and I think we'll go to a game six, which should be a lot of fun on Sunday. But coming up, Kelly Bidlin, we'll see what he thinks about this, the finals, some of the NBA offseason. That is next. This is Should've Bet More Podcast. All right, we are back. Should've Bet More Podcast. The Knicks are one game away from elimination. The Pacers one game away from the finals. To discuss it all, Kieran Von Veasen, a numbers game. We had Gil Alexander on Monday. Why don't we have his partner on now to join us, the producer of A Numbers Game, much more than a producer, although I don't know how much more of a producer he really is. It's the great Kelly Bidlin. Kelly, what's going on, man?
Not much, Willie. Good to be back with you. Thanks for having me on, man.
Of course. Appreciate you coming on. We were just talking here before we started recording. Not sure where to go with this game because, you know what, Knicks, you look at the box score, shoot 43% from three. Get a bunch of rebounds, dominate that statistically, shoot 85% from the line, but you look up and you lost comfortably. I guess it's the turnovers, the fact he gave up 130 points, a ton of free throws both ways, but I guess I'll give you the floor. What's your takeaway here from this game number four?
Yeah, no, I don't think you're I think we'd be reading too far into it to say there was a massive gap in this game. Just like a lot of the ones we've seen in this series so far. I think these teams are still pretty tightly aligned, but man, this Pacers team just got a little bit of that Magic Beans feeling going with them right now, and things seem to be going their way pretty much at every turn. So I don't want to sell it short. Tyrese Haliburton with an absolute massive game tonight. I mean, you're talking about a triple double with zero turnovers. That's just ridiculous. Him showing up real big. You got 30 out of Pascal Siakam, who's he's had some big moments in this series too, which I don't think many people were expecting. Benedict Mathurin with 20 off the bench. Spacers team, man, they just continue to impress, and it's a well coached team, and I think they're gonna have that advantage. However long they're in the playoffs, you are going to have Carlisle the coaching advantage. I think you have it in this series. I think you're going to have it in the finals too, if you make it that far.
What are you thinking here for game number five? Knicks laying 4.5 or so. This is going back to Indy for a game six or not necessarily?
Man, I think we're done. I think we're done in game five. I saw some five and a half, so rushed to grab 5.5 on the opener. Couldn't get there, but I did grab five with the Pacers. I think this ends. I think the cat knee thing's a little concerning too. If you are a Knicks backer, I don't think it was anything more than banged knees, but he looked like he did it about three times in the game, and he was in some serious pain down the stretch there. So we'll see. A game in just 2 days. Is that something a little bit more? Is he going to get checked out more after it? Is enough to, just be fine in a couple days from now? I guess we'll see. But when he went down hard that final time, for part of me at first was like, oh, this might be worse than just banged knees here. And then, okay, he gets back up. But, man, he's grabbing at it the whole time down the stretch and limping. So, interested to see what shape he shows up in for game five. But, man, I think you got to be riding this Pacers just wave right now, man. They are playing great basketball.
So my guess is you would have no interest. Pacers minus 700 for the series. Knicks plus 500. That 5-1, if you're a Knicks optimist, is not enough for you thinking, hey, I'm favored in game five. If I can get game six, I'm favored again in game seven. Then I can sort of name my profit. Is that a reasonable way of approaching this or not necessarily?
Man, I don't think I would want more than that, I think. And this is – and a lot of it just, again, it goes back to Cat. Just, I think, unknown of what status he's really going to be in and what game shape he's going to be in a couple days from now. If I knew I was getting a completely healthy Cat, I could go back to saying, hey, I don't really think there's still a huge difference between these two teams. If you wanted to take a swing on that, I wouldn't hate it. But I think right now, at least wait on that. I think you could wait on that a bit, even if you're taking a slightly worse price or something, just to feel a little bit more confident what you're getting in this roster come Thursday.
Does Indy get a game off OKC if that is the final?
They get a game. I don't know if they get more than that. Maybe two. I guess I would lean more to six than a sweep by the Thunder. But Even if the Knicks advance too, man, I think the Thunder are well positioned to win the NBA Finals right now.
I would agree with that. And I saw these projected series prices up at DraftKings. And it's Thunder about $5 over either one. I think it was a little higher against the Pacers. Mm. But I saw one was interesting, minus 1.5 games, minus 210 again. You got to win by multiple games and you got to lay the price. So it's not like that's one where the general public is going to say, oh, I get to lay games and lay $2. But to me, man, Thunder, I mean, what you're saying is the Thunder are going to win that series in less than seven. Yeah. I'd be shocked. I actually think the minus $2 is pretty reasonable. I'd be shocked if Indy took them to 7 if the Knicks took them to 7, and you said you lean more 6 than a sweep.
Yeah.
I lean more sweep than 6. I think this could be very, very quick. I know it's the NBA. Sweeps don't happen that much, and you know, we saw it Minnesota OKC, and we'll get to that series where up 2-0, you know, the series changes and the venue changes and things look differently and teams get a game. I get that, but I don't know. This could be quick, and I'm trying to think. The last time we've had a finals this lopsided, at least going in, I guess the last version of Cleveland Golden State, because that Cleveland team was not very good, but usually you don't get too many mismatches like this in the finals. To me, this is shaping up just to be a mere formality here.
Yeah, well, that was a pretty steep price when you had the Warriors Raptors, right? But then you had the Warriors injuries.
Warriors favored, right? Warriors $3-4 favorites.
So that's why I was like $3-4. I think you're right. So I don't think it was this expensive. Yeah, you're right. We might be missing one, but man, you're right. I can't think of
that's
one.
A good, no, that's a good one. I remember Ethan Strauss had a piece before the finals where Warriors players told him either on the record, off the record, or both that they were shocked that they were that big of favorites over the Raptors. Like, that number's wrong. We shouldn't be that big of favorites, which I remember. I thought was interesting. Granted, if Durant was hurt to begin with. So I guess that was that was a good Raptors team. And the Raptors had home court there. So look, if Durant doesn't get hurt in game 5, granted, he was coming off an injury to begin with, they win it. But regardless, this is unusual to have this much of a lopsided final here.
Yeah, and we'll see. Look, I mean, I think it's still like, look, this Oklahoma City team, even getting as far as they've gotten, I was so high on them all season. This is that they've at least shown a couple flaws, I think, throughout the playoffs so far. So a couple concerns. Are you going to always have, you know, it's a lot of the questions we still had about this team last year. You're going to get that consistent second scorer to step up. You're going to get some help for SGA offensively every night. I think the defense has been unquestionably great throughout the playoffs. I'm really not worried about them with any matchups they have going forward. I still think Minnesota's the best team actually left that they are playing. So I'm not really worried about that side of the ball. I just think the biggest one is, okay, can you continue to get, so you know, the role player production offensively, and then if Jalen Williams and Chet can do what they did the other night consistently, sure. I think these guys roll, but I think that's still the one concern that you got with the Thunder. And then if it ends up being the Pacers, you saw Haliburton put on the display tonight. The Thunder team lives and thrives off of forcing turnovers on the defense. And you got a point guard on the Indiana side who did not turn the ball over very much. So I think he will be a bit of a challenge for them. But man, there's just, we've seen in this Minnesota series so many defensive weapons they could throw at Haliburton if we got to that.
OKC laying 8.5 here in this game number 5. I could see it looking like the first two games in OKC winning easily. That being said, this is a stupid reason to bet a game or not bet a game. I remember, you know, this Thunder team reminds me of the first championship version of the Warriors. And I specifically remember them being in the same scenario, up 3-1 against the Rockets, about to close it out, and they just looked tight. They won, mm-hmm. but it was like pulling teeth. I don't know if you remember that game.
Mm-hmm.
Hard to believe that's a decade ago.
Yeah,
it's a decade ago. Jeez. And the Nuggets trying to clinch a title against the Heat, where they blew them out of the building in Miami game 3, game 4. And then they were trailing pretty much all of game 5. This is new when you're closing out a chance to get to a finals, when you're closing out a finals. I just think, I don't know, you get a little tight. There's some nerves. So I'd actually, that angle is it's all narrative based, but that would actually lean me to nudge me to take the 8.5. Again, yeah. It's not a great reason, but this is one where I'd actually take Minnesota, and I have not been pro Minnesota this series at all.
Yeah, this is, I think almost any case you're making for either side here would be pretty narrative driven. I don't think that's something you can overlook. The only thing I'd say about that, Will, is I think they kind of got their one slip up game out of the way in that game 3. I thought that they were. Look, I bet an over 5.5 in this series. Oklahoma City wins Wednesday night. That's going to be a loss. But I kind of thought coming off that 7-game series against the Nuggets, they might slip up early in one of those games, either at home or a game 3. It happened in game 3. Ended up winning those first two at home pretty easily. But, man, that team looked about as sharp as they ever had, I thought, in game 4 with what they were doing offensively and defensively, getting things rolling. It's just Minnesota was making shots to keep up with them along the way. So I think it's interesting. Do we see that? It's a young team, so I'm never going to rule that out, that you could just see them kind of take their foot off the gas pedal a bit. But I'm hoping that game three give them enough of a scare to, you know, to kind of lock in mentally and be like, all right, let's just finish this off. Do what we did in game four. Take care of business. You know, I think the other side is kind of more the question for me, where, yeah, we saw Jokic as amazing as he is. It just, even him kind of fade down the stretch of that series, where you can just tell just getting bothered game after game by what Oklahoma City's throwing at him. And it, you know, I want to see what Ant's like when he shows up, right? I mean, he's getting double teamed almost every time he gets into past the 3-point line last game. And, you know, is he just done? Is he already thinking about going on vacation, or has he got something left in him where he can bounce back here? Again, a lot of that's narrative driven, right? What are you going to expect from these guys effort wise and mentality wise? But I, just from a point perspective, I look at this kind of like game one. Will, this was like the same spread we had for that. And I was like, man, in that situation, it was Thunder coming off that game seven series. It still felt a little heavy to me. If anything, I'd be taking the points with Minnesota, but not a bet I'm going to make. And just with the situation it is in the series, I don't know that I'd be looking to get involved on either side, honestly.
Yeah, I guess I would take it just because that I could see them being tight, fall and be behind early. When in doubt, take the points. But I'd be very surprised if we're sitting here Friday talking about a game six of the series. I think OKC wins. Any feel on the total?
Man, 220.5. You're probably looking, it would be under or nothing for me. Under or nothing, especially if this turns into a, you know, if this turns into an OKC route or something like that, right? Or what, are, you know, just what we talked through too. It's okay, maybe the Thunder show up a little lifeless, then it's a battle down the stretch. It would be under or nothing for me.
Where do you think, a couple offseason things quickly before you get out of here. What can the Knicks, what moves can the Knicks make every time the team gets eliminated? All right, let's fix this team. Yeah. Let's give them, Durant and LeBron and Steph. I don't buy the idea that the T-Wolves are, cutting in line here to trade you Giannis for Karl Towns. To me, that makes no sense whatsoever. If you're going to do half measures, you want to try to win, you just keep Giannis. I don't care if he's unhappy or not. I know that's not how it works, but boy, Karl Towns does not do anything for me. If I'm going to trade him, I need the package, the young players, the picks. I do not want him, whatever, 30-year-old Karl Towns with that contract. No, thank you. That being said, what, Knicks just run it back? I wouldn't imagine Thibodeau's in any trouble. Is this what we expect here from the Knicks here this summer going forward?
Alec, the Tibbs question is a good one, because that was, I think a lot of us thought he was pretty well on the hot seat heading into the playoffs. So is an Eastern Conference Finals appearance enough? I don't know.
I would think so. I mean, they beat Boston. Maybe if they got swept, boy.
I think
Eastern Conference Finals, he's probably back.
I think you're probably right, but man, when you go to the roster, unfortunately, I think it's probably just going to be running it back for the most part. I mean, they have invested so much in these pieces now, and then kind of like you're talking, even if you tried to move one of the big ones, I don't think you're getting the return that you were, you know, that you paid for, what you'd be expecting on almost any of these guys outside of Brunson. Man, I think they're probably running it back. Now, the good news, I guess, is Eastern Conference, if we do see a Giannis move, if we see some of these Boston pieces broken up a little bit here, which they're in salary cap hell, that is likely going to happen. With they're going to have at least a slightly different roster next season. Man, they could already be just like they were this year. You kind of go in as one that penciled in top four, top five team in the East. Okay, maybe that's all of a sudden you're pretty much locked into top three. I think a bigger question, though, is as after you watch these playoffs is, does this group have a ceiling? And have we seen the ceiling in this playoffs? And I kind of lean that way, Will. So I think that's the problem. I've honestly been thinking about this for the past few games of just what does this future of this Knicks team look like next year? And I don't know, man. I like a lot of I love the individual pieces that they have. When you talk the main starting five that we've seen, I just don't know if this works with exactly what Tibbs is trying to do with play these guys so many minutes. You've seen the different on-off numbers with Brunson and Cat through the playoffs. It's been a problem. You decided to ship out a lot of defensive help and Hartenstein for Cat, and it's just you haven't really chosen to develop much depth off the bench to help out this team at all. I think that's something that really does need to be re-examined, and that's why the only reason I even think there's still a chance that Tibbs gets shown the door, just if they do feel like there's a coach that needs to tap into, you know, developing that bench a little bit more.
Where does Giannis play next year?
Man, it's a great question. I hope San Antonio. That's what I'm hoping for. Give me Wemby and Giannis together. I would love to see that. I don't know. I think like you were kind of hinting at though, it's just if I'm the Bucks front office, as much as you want to make sure you get something back for a star like that walking out the door, because you know he's going to walk out the door at some point. It's going to be so hard to sit there and see trade proposal after trade proposal. You just know you're not getting a fair shake back. And it's just, for me, when you're talking about top three player in the NBA, like Giannis is to me, it would be so hard for me to pull the trigger, but I think they're going to have to at some point. I think they're going to have to, and they're just going to have to get back the best they can. Yeah. And I mean, we'll see. I'm still not completely ruling out Oklahoma City. It's just, I think their offseason needs and intentions could possibly swing big time here in the next couple series. Let's say there's a shocking Minnesota comeback and they lose. They might be on the market for him. I think if they win the NBA finals, then no. And I think it is literally that silly, but I think that's where the NBA is at. If they win an NBA finals, they're confident with this young group they've developed. I think they're confident going forward with them. And if they don't, I think you're still got to be thinking about how do you get your team better? And man, they've got a lot of assets they could move that would make Milwaukee very happy. And you could pair Giannis alongside a lot of great players.
Sure do. Although Bill Simmons and I think Russillo, I think, was listening to them talking about how their picks have not panned out just in terms of the future picks as good as you think. Like the Clipper picks have dried up. The Dallas pick is not as sexy anymore because of flat. Like there's just the different things. They almost got Philly's pick this year, but they didn't. And Presti, his whole MO is expanding the window, not shrinking the window. So, I mean, look, you can never argue with trading for Giannis, but I just don't know that they go down that road. Did you see the thing about Presti, how this whole run started with, I think, a Rashard Lewis trade exception?
I started reading that. That's
so good.
It's like crazy. It's crazy. It's awesome.
And that flipped into something, and that flipped into some bonus, and then they did this, and then it's Paul George, and it's all. It really is fascinating. The chain of events. Well, the other one, where do you think Durant plays next year?
Who cares? I'm so over Durant. let's see. Where do I really think he goes? Maybe that's the last ditch effort. Miami Heat are finally able to get Durant that they wanted forever.
What does that
ago.
Do though? What does that
it,
do for?
It doesn't
side?
Do much, man. I don't know where Durant really expects to show up at this point either. I mean, look, Houston's probably in play. I mean, I know that link's been going on for a while. Some of these other teams I've heard, I've heard Spurs recently. I'm like, I think Spurs would be really interested in Giannis. I think there's at least, to your point about the age thing with Oklahoma City, at least there's a bit of you're going to at least get a few years of crossover between those type of guys. Like Durant, it's what you're there with Wemby for a couple years, maybe. And then it's likely see you later. Like I don't know what that does for you for helping you to try to develop Wemby long term, which I think needs to be their main focus.
And what does that trade return for Durant look like? His age, his salary. It's hard now to play fantasy GM and trade these guys because there's so many different rules here. But I mean, with what they gave up for him, I know that can't color what you think in terms of like getting back. But I mean, they're basically going to get 10 cents on the dollar from what they gave up just 2 years ago. It was like right around the Super Bowl 2 years ago, the first Chiefs Eagles Super Bowl, like. 3 or 4 days before that game, I want to say. I mean, they're not going to get anything back.
Almost any of these guys, though, like the Rockets are going to be in play. They need to be in play because that team really is.
Can't score.
And you can see they're good enough. Like, they're good enough. A lot of those pieces are so good and young. I mean, you add a scorer like Durant to that team, I think it completely reshapes what they look like. So, I think that would be a great fit. I would love to see, I guess, final answer, would love to see him there in Houston. I would love to see Giannis in San Antonio.
Kelly, you're the man. Where can we find you?
At Kelly Bidlin on Twitter. We got Long Shots out for the Memorial. Check that out. Podcast up now on YouTube as well. So check that out if you're betting the Memorial this weekend.
Favorite type of mustard?
Oh, God, none. You know that, Will. None. Not even honey mustard.
Not even honey mustard?
Not even honey mustard, bro. You know that.
Mustard's all right, Kelly. Appreciate it, man. Thanks.
All right, bud. See ya.
Rate, review, subscribe. Thanks to Kelly Bidlin. We will see next time we talk on Friday. We could have an NBA final. So hopefully that's not the case. Hopefully the Knicks put up a fight. We'll see if Minnesota can put up a fight. But rate, review, subscribe, goldboys.com. Check out the Discord. See you then.